Well, good morning again. I tell you, it is a privilege. It is a privilege to worship, to lift our voices, to sing, and to just to know that God hears us. This morning, I'm excited about starting this sermon series. I'm excited about the concept of us continuing in this new journey and us having something that has a national advertising campaign going that all we have to do is tell people, hey, have you seen what's all over television? Well, come to Highland Hills and you get to hear more about that. And we're going to celebrate what's going on. And the History Channel is spending millions of dollars right now advertising so that people can come to the Highland Hills Church of Christ and join us. So we are just redeeming the advertising budget that the History Channel has allocated and is doing and putting together this mini series, and we're just gonna piggyback that and bring people to hear the greatest story ever told, and the story that each one of us get to be a part of. This morning I'm excited for another reason. I'm just excited today, and one of the reasons is because we are reaching people that we need to be reaching. This morning, I know that the story that I'm going to tell, or I'm going to talk about, it's found in Genesis chapter 22. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and be turning there. That this story is familiar to many, but not all. And that's exciting to me this morning. You see, growing up in the church and hearing these stories and hearing the stories of Moses and of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Gideon and David and Solomon and all of those stories, and then, you know, throughout the New Testament, hearing the stories of the life of Christ and the apostles, you know, I just took for granted that, well, this is just everybody knows this. And then I get into ministry and find out that they don't, and realize that church, we have a job to do. And it's not only to know these stories. That's not our job. Our job is to know them and to tell them, to live them in front of people that don't know the story of the Bible, that don't know the reality of a God who created and is redeeming that creation throughout all of history. And so the excitement that I have this morning is because we are a group of people this morning that not all of us have heard this story. And so if you have, great. If you haven't, great. And this morning is going to be exciting, and we're going to hear a story that comes all the way from the Old Testament that is the story of us. And this mini series, this entire television thing, and this sermon series is going to be a story like we've never heard it before. And this morning, I'm going to show a video here in just a minute that's going to be a perspective of this story that, I'll be honest, I had never thought of. So as we go forward in this and we talk about the Bible, this morning we're going to talk about our journey from death to life. And it's in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. So if you've got your Bibles, look with me in Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Now, the whole premise here is Abraham is this guy who worshiped multiple gods at one point in his life. I mean, he worshiped the sun god, and he worshiped that god, and the moon god, and the god of the valley, and the god of the mountains, and he worshiped the god of this and the god of that, because he lived in a land that just had people that just believed in all kinds of gods. But he also worshiped the true and living God, the God of creation, the God who, not the God of the sun, but the God who created the sun. Not the God of the mountains, but the God who created the mountains. So not only did he worship and just kind of pay homage to all these other gods, but here was a guy, and his name was first Abram, and he worshiped all of them, but he also worshiped the true and living God. And that true and living God came to him one day and just said, Abram, I want you to do something for me. And in Genesis chapter 12, he says, I want you to leave everything that you've ever known, and I want to take you to some place that you've never seen. And so Abram does that. He leaves everything that he's ever known. He leaves his family, his father's house. He leaves everything. And he goes with his wife. And that's it. And they go to a land that God's going to show them. And he said, and then God says, I'm going to make your descendants as many as the stars in the skies and the sand on the shore. You're going to be the father of a nation. And he said, well, that's funny because I don't have any kids and I'm super old and my wife's really old too. And we don't have any kids. How in the world? And God's like, just trust me. Just trust me. And so he does. He trusts God and he leaves and over the course of time, this child of promise comes to him and his name is Isaac. And then one day, as they are raising this child, chapter 22 happens. Just a normal day, just an average day. God has singled out this man and said, I need a people to know me and me only, to serve me and me only. And Abram, you're going to be that guy. And he changes his name to Abraham. And then just on a normal day, this is what God tells him. Sometime later, God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering, the mountain that I'll tell you about. This is a normal day. Son that he's waited for his whole life. And God comes to him and says, I want you to sacrifice him. What does that day look like? What does that moment look like? What does a father look like when he hears from God, this is what I want you to do? How do you carry that out? Well, from the show tonight, we have a clip of what it looks like, of what it might have been like for Abraham to do this, to take his son, his one and only son, whom he loved. So watch the screens this morning as we get a taste of what it might have looked like. Click on that. One second. Click that. There you go. Got it.
Isaac.
Eat up. When you have children of your own, you'll want them to grow up as big and... Abraham? What's the matter?
God wants a sacrifice. My boy, come with me.
Lamb.
Lord will provide a sacrifice, my son.
Did Abraham take a lamb?
No, mistress.
He wouldn't.
Powerful story, isn't it? That's powerful just watching it. Imagine living that. Imagine being on that mount. Imagine being that father, being Abraham and hearing that that's what you had to do. That's what God was calling you to do. And then having the faith to walk up that mountain one step at a time with your, I mean, you know, did you remember when he, after they built that altar and he said, I mean, his heart was heavy. His breath was labored knowing what was coming. And there's Isaac just getting the wood. See, the Bible is telling us our story of redemption. The best way to get a child interested in a story is to put them in the story. tell them the story about them. See, God wants us interested in the story. And so He's put each one of us in this redemption story of creation. You see, just like Abraham and just like Isaac in this episode, our life is an uncertain journey. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 14, the Bible tells us that no one knows what the future holds. Nobody knows what's coming. And who can even tell you what's going to happen next? Not that no one knows it, but that even if someone told you exactly what was going to happen in your life and all of the ups and all of the downs, even if somebody told you, you wouldn't believe them. You think Isaac would have ever believed that day was coming? You think he would have ever believed if a year earlier he was told by God or anyone else that your father is going to take you up on a mountain and he's going to tie you up and he's going to lay you on an altar and he's going to sacrifice, he's going to kill you because you are a sacrifice unto me. Do you think he would have believed that? No. You see, life is uncertain even when we least expect it. You think walking up that mountain with his dad. I mean, obviously, Abraham and Sarah doted over that little boy. I mean, it seems like the older you are with young children, the more and more you appreciate them. Who was it? I think it was Dan Thomas that told me, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I'd have had my grandchildren first. Isn't that right, Howard? Amen. Just appreciate them more. I mean, think about, you know, Abraham and Sarah. I mean, they were, you know, late in life. They had seen families come and go, and finally this child, and they doted over him. I mean, he was everything to them. Do you think that Isaac felt safe every time his dad was around or his mom was around? Do you think that the relationship that they had was just something so sweet and so special? And so Isaac, he didn't think a thing about it just going up there with his dad. Even when we least expect it, at best, our lives are uncertain. After experiencing that, do you think Isaac's life was ever the same after that? Do you think he ever looked at Abraham the same after that day? Now, in the poetic license that the writers and the filmers, you know, when Abraham's helping him down and he offers him his hand and Isaac just runs on past him, you know, maybe there's a little bit, whoa, hey, Dad, I don't know about this right now. You know, maybe there's some distrust. Maybe there was some confusion. Who knows? But do you think Isaac knew? Didn't wonder, but he knew what the most important thing in his dad's life was. He knew God meant everything. Do you think Isaac's life was ever? You think he ever wondered about the trust or the dependence or the commitment that his dad had to God after that day? Do you think he was? You think forever he was changed regarding his dad? Do you think he just looked at him and thought, you know what? That guy will trust God no matter what. Do you think his view of his dad changed that day? Let me ask you this. Do you think his view of God changed that day? You see, now a lot of times we get the idea that we kind of question, well, why sacrifice your son? Why kill, wasn't that lamb? Forget about the reason why and the why would he ask him to do that and did he know he was not going to? Forget about that for a second. Do you think that the only reason God said, Abraham, go up on that mountain and sacrifice your son wasn't so that God would know anything about Abraham, was that so God could show Isaac that I am real because the most important man in your life trusts me this much? See, God gets real when dad, when mom will follow him no matter what. You know why kids are leaving the church in record number? Because God doesn't change dad. Because dad won't do anything for this God we serve. You see, when dad marches son up on the mountain, son knows God is real. There's no one in this world that could ever, ever convince Isaac after that day that God wasn't real. Because Abraham was willing to take him up on the mountain because God said, I need a sacrifice. See, the way that we act, though, Abraham knew, I'm in this story. I'm in this. I'm on this journey. I am on this journey with God. I have left it all. I have gone from my home, from my family, and I am on, I'm on God's time. I'm on God's money. I'm on God's good pleasure right now. And everything about his life, every shot was called by God. And let me tell you, when we live like that, God is real. God is not just talked about. God is real. And when God is real, life is uncertain. Life is an uncertain journey. The next thing that we see here, not only is our lives uncertain, but our death is all that appears certain. Let me ask you this. At what point do you think Isaac stopped struggling? When did he just give in to this is going to happen? I mean, I doubt for one second that he just, you know, never said, no, don't stop. What are you doing? No, at some point, you know, he was definitely struggling. At what point did he just stop? At what point do we stop? To what point do we realize in Romans 5 and 12 it says that, look, sin entered the world. There's no doubt sin is in the world, right? And when sin entered the world, guess what came right behind it? Death. And in this same way, death came to all people. So at some point, we have to understand that death is certain. We're thinking, well, golly, Shane, that's kind of a downer. I mean, the video was intense enough. And now all we're talking about, I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. That there is a certainty to spiritual death. The Bible says that we are all dead in our transgression, spiritually dead in sin. But relax, because the news gets better. You see, there's at some point in our life, just like in the life of Isaac, that we have to stop struggling. We have to stop fighting the inevitability of what is going to happen. We have to stop fighting the inevitability of not only our physical death, but stop fighting the reality that we are spiritually dead outside of Christ. And that's where the news gets better. Because when we stop struggling with that, when we stop fighting that, when we stop struggling against God, no, Father, don't, not that. When we stop saying, you know, what are you doing? And we just start realizing the inevitability of what's going on. Then we can realize that our salvation has been provided. It's only when we stop struggling. It's only when we are on the altar. It is only then that salvation can be provided, because life has to be threatened before it can be saved. So we have to come to terms with you know, where we are in the story. We have to come to terms with the fact that our life is really threatened. Not only, you know, especially not physically, but moreover, we have to understand that our lives spiritually are threatened. In Romans chapter 6 and 23, we're told that the wages of sin, on our own, we can only experience death. But the gift of God, the gift that God gives us, that lamb that was caught in the brush, that the Bible says that when the angel was sent to stop Abraham from doing this thing, and they looked over and they saw the lamb that was provided, they saw that there was a sacrifice that was given to them. And just like in John chapter 1 and 29, when John the Baptist looks up and says, look, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. See, just like on that mountain that day, Abraham and Isaac looked and there was a sacrifice provided. John the Baptist that day looks up and he sees Jesus. He sees this sacrifice that is provided. He sees this redemption that is gifted to us. And all he could say, all he could proclaim was, here is the Lamb that has been provided. Here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And as we've heard from the Bible already, if he takes away the sin of the world, what does he take away alongside that? He takes away death. He takes away the one thing that is certain. See, this morning, we are invited to find ourselves in the greatest story that's ever told. We're invited by God to find our place in this story. We're invited by God to recognize on our own the uncertainty of things to come, even when from our perspective it looks as though things ought to be safe, that things ought to be the way that we foresee them to be, that things ought to be stable, that we have to find ourselves in this uncertainty. And we have to stop struggling against the reality of this existence and just start accepting the provided sacrifice that is given to each one of us. So what is, as we follow with our theme, what is the next step? What's the next step that we take? I don't know. Where are you in this story? Where are you in the timeline of going up that mountain and sacrificing to God and giving to God that which is the most dear to you, the most precious to you, the most certain to you, the most clung to in your life? Where are you in that? Are you at the point where you're listening for God to tell you, God, you know, tell me where to go, tell me what to do? If you're in that place, the next step is just keep listening. Keep praying. Keep being available to hear the voice of God. If you're going up that, if you've been told this is what I want from you, then keep walking up that mountain. Keep going towards that place where God is calling you to release what it is that in this world that you most dearly love, so that God can show you what life after sacrifice is all about. So that God can continue to open your eyes and to show you and all those who are in your life exactly how real He is. Where are you in that journey? This morning, wherever you are, God is willing and able to take you by the hand and lead you into some uncertain times. Lead you into repairing relationships. Lead you into being closer to Him. Lead you into bringing others in your life to Him and showing them their place in that story. Wherever you are, God is willing and able to take you by the hand and lead you into and through the uncertainty of this life. If you have any needs about where you are, if you have any doubts about where you are in this journey, if you need any help taking that next step, that is what we are all here for. That is what we are all about here. If you need to confess Christ and be baptized, to take that step, to enter into the story that is the story of God and His people, you can do that this morning. If you need to be prayed with or prayed for, you can do that as together we stand and as we sing.